In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salamun Alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for joining us on IRIB English Radio and this episode of today's special. We're speaking about poverty in Islam. Today, Sunday, is the 5th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the second chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 261.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم.
The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies His reward for whom He wills. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Enjoining others to giving charity and prohibition from immoderation and extravagance are the best way to solving the problem of the difference of social classes. On the other hand, the appearance and spread of usury is the origin and motive of social classes to be created. That many be why that the necessity of giving charity and prohibition of usury are stated beside each other in the Holy Quran. By the way, it should be noted, it is not so that any grain of corn planted in any land does grow 7 ears with 100 grains. But the grain should be safe. The land should be susceptible. The time must be appropriate, and the preparation and protection should be complete.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
The topic of this episode of today's special is poverty in Islam. In Islamic viewpoint, the problem of poverty occupies a central place in Islamic ethics. Indeed, it is arguably the first social issue that the Quran addresses, beginning with some of the earliest revelations relieved by the Prophet Muhammad. The claims of the poor and the obligations of the wealthy are moral issues taken up by hundreds of Quranic verses. Likewise, the Hadith literature is rich in moral admonitions and practical instructions that reflect, according to Islamic tradition, the Prophet's teachings and reforms on this subject. Two of Islam's pillars of faith bear directly or indirectly on the issue of poverty. Zakat, which is the duty of the rich to pay alms to the poor, and Psalm, or fasting during the month of Ramadan, which is intended in part to cultivate empathy for the destitute. Islamic law devotes considerable attention to the institution of waqf, or charitable trusts.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Rouhani.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Poverty is one of the very significant and at the same time challenging subject and topic that can be discussed from different perspectives. Sometimes someone might have a lot of, for example, money and wealth, but since mentally he is poor, he is not able to make use of those wealth properly and truly. So that's why for a Muslim, the first important point is this: to empower himself, to enrich himself spiritually and mentally, in terms of knowledge, in terms of thought, in terms of understanding, in terms of beliefs, ideas, ideals, lifestyle. So in terms of these kind of things, a person must be rich and not poor. This is the first point. So that's why when it comes to the Prophet's life and Imam alayhi salatu wasalam's lifestyle, we see that they tried their best, first of all, to teach Muslims the true life, the true lifestyle. In the true lifestyle, first of all, you should solve those problems that you might face, first of all, in your minds. Mentality is important, the first step. Because once you became strong and powerful in your mind, in terms of your thoughts, in terms of your ideas, then automatically you will find solutions to the problems that you might face in your lives. Because you are strong enough to face any challenges, any problems, to solve them in your life. And then you rely on a very solid and strong and powerful kind of beliefs, ideas, principles in your life that can help you to go forward, to grow up.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Here we have some means described by Islam to solve poverty. Seeking refuge with Allah from poverty. This sunnah relates to us what the Prophet used to do and what he taught his ummah to do, which is seeking refuge to Allah from poverty because of the effect that it has on a person, his family, and his society. It was narrated from the Prophet used to say in his prayer, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from sin and heavy debt. Someone said to him, how often you seek refuge from heavy debt? He said, when a man gets into debt, he speaks and tells lies, and he makes a promise and breaks it.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue.
Meet regularly with new Muslims. What is it? It's one of the tips that our imams used for helping the poor and needy. New Muslims are in need of a lot of support and encouragement, especially when they first embrace Islam. Most of the time, they do not have the support system of a tight knit family to help them out when they are in need or difficulty. By meeting with new Muslims individually and privately on a regular basis to see how they are doing, you as an imam can work to ensure their financial and educational, as well as other needs, are met by the Muslim community.
Allah says, "Oh, you people, every one of you, every single one of you has been created by me, are indeed poor. And I am the wealthy. I am the rich." This is Allah's formula. Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara. You're all poor. Wallahu huwa al-ghani. And Allah is the ultimate rich. Allah is the ultimate wealthy. What are the messages of this ayah? The message of this ayah is to tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never in need, and we are always in need of Allah. Because what is the definition of somebody that is poor, who is in need? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only entity, existence, which is independent. He is never in need, and we are dependent. So we are in need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first message of the ayah, wants to tell us, you will always be in need. Even if you have $20 billion, you'll still be in need. You'll be in need of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never in need. Number two, the ayah is telling us that, listen, you don't need other human beings. You need Allah. Because other human beings are also in need. Other human beings are faqir, just like you are faqir. So why would you go and ask a faqir, somebody that is in need, for your needs? Ask the existence, the one and only, who is never in need. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll learn about Islamic views on poverty more on the next episode of today's special, tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you for joining us. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to a mind-stimulating aphorism from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. To greet everyone you pass by and to sit in a place other than the first row of a session are signs of modesty.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this hadith is about something that transpires in the hereafter for poor people. You know, in the Holy Quran, there is mention of the fact that a lot of people will enter heaven without being taken into account. You know, the hereafter is filled with certain way stations, certain mawaqif, as they call them. You know, these mawaqif and these way stations, people are stopped, you know, and certain things transpire for them. Like, for example, death is one of those way stations. Then they go. People go in the grave. They're asked by angels regarding their, you know, faith and their actions, right? And then, you know, then they're raised from the grave. You know, these are all things that will transpire once we die. And one of those things, one of those mawaqif, one of those way stations, is the hisab. You know, the taking into account of a person's actions. Right, but a lot of people will be forgiven of this. They will not be taken into account. For example, in the Holy Quran, we have the following verse: "Say, O my servants who have faith, be wary of your Lord. For those who do good deeds in this world, there will be a good reward, and Allah's earth is vast. Indeed, the patient will be paid in full their reward, without any reckoning." Right, this is one of those groups of people who will be forgiven of this painful event with the patient people. Something similar has been reported regarding poor people. In a beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been reported to have said, on the day of resurrection, a group of people will rise. They will come to the gate of paradise, and they will knock at the gate of paradise. Then they will be asked, who are you? And they will answer, we are the poor. They will be asked, have you come? And have you come here before the reckoning? Before being taken into account? أَقَبْلَ الْحِسَابِ And they will answer, you did not give us anything to hold us accountable for. Meaning they were poor, they didn't have anything to begin with. What was Allah to ask them about? So Allah in response to this will say, Allah the Mighty and Exalted will then say, they speak the truth. وَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Enter paradise, Allah will say. These are true, we didn't give them anything in this world that the taking into account of people is to ask them with respect to the bounties that they were given, how did they use them, you know, did they use them in lawful means, unlawful means. These people were poor, they didn't have much to begin with, they didn't have anything, right? So because of that, they will not be taken into account, they will enter paradise without any hisab, without any accountability. Thank you for joining us here on the Hadith of the Day. We were looking at poor people entering paradise without any accountability in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, respected listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. This is Habibullah Fasizada, and again, alhamdulillah, we have Brother Ali Nasir and Fawad Haider here with us. Inshallah, we'll be helping you learn the Tajweed rules and practice the Tajweed rules in this session on some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. So I really recommend you stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. So, Brother Ali Nasir, salamu alaikum. How are you?
Assalamu alhamdulillah.
Okay, great. And Fawad Haider, how are you? Oh, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. So, in the previous sessions, we practiced the verses from Ayah 1 up to Ayah 20. So, inshallah, today in this session, we'll work on Ayah number 21. And before we start, Ali Nasir and Fawad, let's listen to this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من تتقون.
So alhamdulillah, nice recitation. Now we will be reciting ourselves, okay, and practice. Then we'll explain a little bit about this ayah and also then the tajweed rules. Practically we'll apply in this ayah. Ready?
Yes, sir.
So, ayah 21 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Let's start. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم.
يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم
الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون
الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
أحسن ما شاء الله. So alhamdulillah, this ayah gives you a great message and tells us this ayah, okay, not only us but to all the human beings, all the humankind. So it says ya ayyuha nas. Nas means human beings, okay, all the human beings. And alif and lam at the beginning of the word annas, okay, that indicates that it's all the people, okay, the whole people. So what does Allah Almighty say in this ayah? Allah Almighty says, O mankind, or O human beings, worship your Lord. U'budu rabbakum. Worship your Lord, okay? So then Allah Almighty talks about who the Lord is, or some of the or one of the attributes of Allah Almighty here. Alladhi, the Lord, okay, the Lord, or the Rabb in Arabic we have khalaqakum, the Lord that has created you. Okay? Has Allah Almighty created us? Yeah.
Yes.
Walladhina min qablikum, the Lord that has created you and the people, or the human beings, or the mankind before you, those who were living before us, like Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and from Prophet Adam, okay, up to like our forefathers, okay. So Allah Almighty created all of us. Yes?
Yes.
So لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So if you worship your Lord, the result of your worship to Lord, your Lord is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may be God wary, or you may be among those who have taqwa. Among those who have taqwa. Okay? Mm-hmm. Piousness. So a good message I want to give you, that first and foremost, okay, when Allah Almighty commands them something, okay, it's not only for normal people. First and foremost, it's for the prophets and for the imams and then for the nations. Okay? So this ayah includes, Nas includes all the people, the human beings, and also the prophets, they were human beings too. Okay? So the message is this, that if we want to be good people, if we want to be prosperous and have a happy life, okay, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, everyone is looking for a happy life, yes?
Yeah?
Yes. But there is one thing, that you cannot have this happy life, okay? I mean that relaxation, I mean that comfortness, okay? That happy life and prosperous life without any sorrow, without any pain, without any sadness. So you can't have that life unless you worship Allah Almighty. If you worship Allah Almighty, you will have that prosperous life, okay? So ibadat, or worshiping Allah Almighty, brings you that happiness, brings you that understanding, okay? Brings you that prosperity. So لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, when someone is having taqwa, or someone is pious, okay, God worry, so he knows what is bad, what is good, and he does whatever is good for him. So when we do only good things, we are prosperous. Isn't it that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, may inshallah Allah Almighty help us be like men God wearies and those people who really fear Allah Almighty. Fear does not mean that you should be afraid of Allah Almighty. Oh, Allah Almighty is something so dangerous. You should be afraid, okay? Okay, like those, God forbid, like the examples that the babies, or usually the kids, okay, they are afraid of. Like whenever the mom, they cry, okay, the mom says, stop, okay? That man will come to you. Then they are so much afraid, they are scared, okay? No, God is not like that, okay? I told you that day that in Dua al-Iftitah we have, وَأَيْقَنْتُ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِمِينَ. He is the most merciful, and at the same time, he is the most punishing. Okay? We should be also hoping that Allah Almighty will forgive us, but at the same time, we should be afraid of his punishments. Afraid of his punishment means that we should be careful not to make any mistake. Okay? So, أُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ أُعْبُدُوا means that you should worship. Worshipping means you should be careful about Allah Almighty. The rules that Allah Almighty has assigned for you in this world, okay? Be careful about them. Then, تَتَّقُون, taqwa means this, that you're caring about Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty is something important for you, valuable for you, okay? So, if he says yes, you should say yes. If he says no, no. That means taqwa simply, okay? But I want our friends to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, okay? And make sure you learn more about this ayah.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, the mad on the top we have. And then we have what? Hamza also. Ya Ayyuh. So, do we have, what type of mud do we have here?
Wajib muttasil.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yes. But basically, no. Ya is one word. Ayyu is one word. Ha is another word. Ya, ayyuha. So they are joined together. All right? Like khalaqakum. Khalaqa is one word. Kum is another word. Khalaqakum.
So when they are joined.
You don't. So they are not in one word. In one word means that is one word, not compound word.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah, they are compound.
Simple word. So, ya ayyuha, you either can recite it with a mad, like for six counts, or for two counts.
That's correct. Munfasil.
Ja is munfasil. So, how do you say? Ya ayyuhan nasu, or ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu. All right?
Yes.
So, ayyuha, ha has alif mat, right? That day I told you, remember, that whenever we have alif mad, waw mad, ya mad, plus hamzatul wasl, you skip that alif mad, waw mad, ya mad. That will be changed to a short vowel sound. Ayyuha will be changed to a short vowel sound. Ha. Ayyuha. Ha. Then if you join it to the next word, nas, ya ayyuhan nas. Quickly, without stretching the sound of ha, you join it to an nas. Right, Fawad? So yes. How do you read it?
Ya ayyuha.
Ya ayyuha. I mean the ha part. How do you join it? Read it.
The ha with the la.
Yes, join it.
Ha.
Hannas, right? Not hannas. Because it is alif mad, you got to stretch it for two counts. But since we have hamzatul wasl here, you do not stretch it for two counts. All right?
Yes.
Ya ayyuhannasu. Hannasu, not hannasu. Do not stretch it. Maybe sometimes I had some students, they thought this has to be stretched. Okay, because it's alif mad. But no, you don't have to stretch it. Okay, like fi alladhina. Fil ladhina. You stop. You do not stretch. يا أيها الناس النون والتشديد you have to apply the rule إدغام وذغنة يا أيها الناس اعبدوا اعبدوا okay look we have همزة الوصل but because it's in the middle of the two words you skip it يا أيها الناس اعبدوا but if you want to start from اعبدوا you gotta read it like I said اعبدوا with ضمة why because the third letter After the letter عين, the second letter after the letter عين, but totally this third letter has
ضمّة.
أضمّة. أعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. So the pronunciations of the letters ذال خا قاف. Okay, خلقكم خلقكم خلقكم. All right, make sure it's a heavy. Yes, خلقكم والذين من قبلكم من قبلكم. Nun Sakin plus Qaf. Yes? So, from the rest of the letters. Yes, for what?
Yes.
Okay, so, what rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Heavy Ikhfa.
Heavy Ikhfa. Min qablikum. Min qablikum. Alright? Then, la'allakum tattaqun. There is no other rule. So, now, once more, okay? We will listen to this ayah. Then, inshallah, we'll finish this session.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we practiced the Tajweed rules on this ayah and also a short explanation. And make sure you refer to the Tafasir book also and make sure you practice, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next session. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahir.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجه الفرج
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته
Dear listeners, we have reached this part of the supplication of Kumail.
Ya ilahi wa rabbi wa sayyidi wa mawlai.
My Lord, my Master and my Protector.
لِأَيِّ الْأُمُورِ إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُو وَلِمَا مِنْهَا أَضِجُّ وَأَبْكِ.
For which things would I complain to you, and for which of them would I lament and weep?
لِأَلِيمِ الْعَذَابِ وَشِدَّتِهِ.
For the pain and severity of the chastisement.
أَمْ لِطُولِ الْبَلَاءِ وَمُدَّتِهِ.
Or for the length and period of the tribulations. So, what we explained so far is that the commander of the lovers in this part of the supplication is trying to tell us that there is only one that we can refer to for our complaints. There is only one that we have to weep and lament to. And this weeping and lamenting is one of his gifts. These are Almighty Allah's gifts for the servants, and these are the things that show the humbleness of the heart. The Holy Prophet sallallahu says,
"من خرج من عينه مثل الذباب من الدمع من خشية الله."
The one whose eyes weep from Allah's fear, as a small as a mosquito.
آمنه الله به يوم الفزع الأكبر.
Allah will save him just for that small teardrop from the hereafter. Prophet says, such man will be saved from hereafter just because of that weeping as small as a mosquito.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the believers, has also stated,
بُكَاءُ الْعُيُونَ وَخَشْيَةُ الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The weeping of the eyes and fear of the hearts are Allah's mercy.
فَإِذَا وَجَدْتُمُهَا فَاغْتَنِمُ الدُّعَاءَ.
So if you found them, seize the chance to pray. This is because a prayer along with weeping and fear will be accepted, and one of the prerequisites of the acceptance of dua and one of the signs of acceptance is this weeping. And this is so important.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has also said,
مَا مِن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ كَيْلٌ وَوَزْنٌ. Everything has a special scale, except tears, إِلَّا الدُّمُوعُ.
فَإِنَّ الْقَطْرَةَ تُطْفِئُ بِحَارًا مِنَ النَّارِ.
Because a drop of fear can put off oceans of fire.
وَلَوْ أَنَّ بَاكِيًا بَكَى فِي أُمَّةٍ لَرُحِمُ.
In fact, if there is one tearful person from Allah's fear in any nation, all those people will be forgiven because of that tearful person.
Oh my God, my Lord, my King and Master, which of the matters shall I complain to you, and for which of them shall I wail and weep? Shall I wail for the pains of the punishment and its intensity, or for the length of my suffering and its duration?
Thank you, Allah,
God, let me hear,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, dear listeners, in this part, the supplicant is weeping from the chastisements, and at the same time asking the Lord of the worlds to save him. This weeping is a mercy from the side of the Almighty Allah, and is a sign of the heart which is being softened. It's a sign of humiliation. And this is what we have been recommended to do, better say to have, when we are about to supplicate.
If a supplicant wishes his prayer to be accepted, he must seek that kind of riqqatul qalb from the Almighty Allah. He must try to soften his heart, because when the heart becomes tender, only in such a time it will open up. In such time, the veils between the supplicant and Allah are lifted. And this way, the supplicant is closer to Almighty Allah. He is closer and nearer to Allah's mercy. In fact, this weeping, this lamenting, this sign of riqqatul qalb is so important that we have been recommended in our traditions to hold specific modes of prayer when we are supplicating. There are some narrations that put emphasis on self-abasement and tadalluh during prayer. And they are all for the purpose of actualizing this end. We have been ordered and recommended to ask from the Almighty Allah while we are invoking Him, like a just like a beggar is asking for food. And let me tell you this, that it is reported that among the things Allah, the Exalted, has revealed to Prophet Musa ala nabina wa ali wa alayhi salam was this: O Musa, stretch your hands before me in humility, like a humble servant calling his master for help. If you did that, you will be showered with mercy, as I am the most kind of those who are kind and powerful. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to sit us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Welcome back, my dear friends, to a new session of For a Better Life. This is Asma, and as your host for today's episode, I hope you're doing great and life is in good terms with you. So, as always, we're going to have something interesting to think about. Sometimes it happens that we see our life as a useless trial. We work so hard, we do every single thing in our power to achieve what we think we deserve, but every time we just fail, and it's more like building castles in the air. And every time you feel like, oh God, I'm just hallucinating. There is nothing for me. Gradually, this resentment, dissatisfaction with everything you do will turn into a snake that is poisoning you from the inside and is actually killing you in cold blood. Whenever you aim for something or you set your mind on something, or just let's put it this way, that whenever you deeply want and wish something and you don't get it, this failure will go somewhere at the back of your mind. And this is not going to be the end. You would add some more of these grudges toward life, toward all the failures that has happened to you into that record. That the record I just told you, into your memory that works like an inside enemy, reminding you every single weakness you had. What happens is that you would turn into a person who's never happy or satisfied. No matter what happens, you're just a sad, nagging, breathing being who does not have enough of motivations or driving forces to continue their life, and they're totally not enjoying anything about life. And tell you something, it doesn't have to do much with your social status, because there are too many people who are apparently wealthy, but they're actually in desperate lack of contentment and happiness. And the examples are plenty. If you look at famous people who have everything from the outside and lack important things from the inside. Now, what am I trying to say? Well, let's go for a short break and then I'll give you the answer. So stick to Arab English Radio. We'll be back in a heartbeat. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is For a Better Life. I am Asma, and we're talking about contentment. Happiness is inside you, but you are looking for it in money and foreign goods. The entire sea is inside you, but still you are looking for water outside with a spoon in your hand. Money or property is important in life, but happiness cannot be bought only with money.